It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barron on Rutherford County's Place to Talk, WGNS AM-FM.
Good afternoon, everyone. Zach Troutman back with you today on Rutherford Issues, and at this time I am pleased, very, very pleased, to be joined by Janie Day, CEO and President of Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee. Janie, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's fantastic. Now, Second Harvest Food Bank, you were probably very busy over the holiday season.
We were extremely busy over the holiday season. And of course, we have our big Feeding Hope Challenge that is going on currently, and in which we hope to provide over 9 million meals during this holiday season and throughout the coming months. And today, we're only at 7.6 million, so we have a little bit of a ways to go.
Well, that's still nothing to shake a stick at, though. I mean, that's nothing to be, you know, that's not exactly chopped liver. That's pretty darn good, though.
We're very excited about that. But there are so many more families that need our services. And in 2011, the demand for our services increased by over 25%, and yet our financial contribution decreased by 26%. So the demand is up, but less money is being received in which we can use to buy food or assist families that need food.
So, I suppose both of those, just in direct correlation to the economy, people are not able to contribute as much, and the people who already have little have even less of a chance, which increases the demand.
Exactly, exactly. And unfortunately, many families are having to utilize food banks all across the country as a normal part of their everyday living. With underemployment and unemployment in many parts of our country and in many of the communities in which we all live in and the communities in which we serve, which are 46 counties in Middle and West Tennessee, we have a lot of families that are in need and are having to utilize on a much more regular basis.
Let me ask you this. Families that are in need and might need to utilize a food bank, is there any sort of requirements that they have to fulfill in order to be able to take advantage of those services, or is it really just open to anyone?
It's really open to anyone who is in need of food. There are a couple of things that we do ask. There are a number of food banks in the Rutherford County area, and what they'll ask for is a copy of your, or to look at your driver's license or your Social Security card to make sure that you live in that county or in that city in which you may need to be served. But really, it's just based on need. So most of the church groups that offer food box programs or offer food assistance, they're not requiring any kind of monetary information,
right,
but they just want to make sure that you do live in the community in which they're serving.
And that makes a lot of sense. And let's be very clear here. This is an issue that a lot of people sort of like to sometimes distance themselves from or not think about it, you know, not think that this is really going on in my community. It very much is. These people are our neighbors. Apparently, one in six adults and one in four children are at risk of hunger.
That's exactly correct, and that number is growing. With over 15% of our nation's population is now on food stamps or needing to utilize food stamps to be able to put a consistent supply of food on their table to feed their families. With this ongoing economy and with people not going back to work, and if they do go back to work, they're underemployed, so the money that they are making can't keep up with their needs. They're having to turn to food banks and church groups and other folks for all kinds of assistance. And, you know, in this country, that should not be happening.
No, absolutely not. And what's a tragedy also is that a lot of the sort of food services that are offered, you see sprout up more around the holidays, around the winter, around Christmas, around Thanksgiving, but throughout the rest of the year, it kind of backs off a little bit, you know, except for the major ones that are around all the time, such as Second Harvest and a few others.
Exactly.
But as far as the church programs and some of the more local things like that, for throughout the rest of the year, the majority of the year can't provide people with the sort of help that they need.
Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, hunger is with us 365 days a year. And because of that, we need everybody's help to make a difference. So we're hoping that people will resolve this new year with a new New Year's resolution to help us resolve hunger in 2012 and get to that 9 million plus meals that we need to be able to provide in the coming months.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. It is a resolution. It's great that you phrase it that way. People are making all kinds of New Year's resolutions. resolutions right now, and so why not make one that's going to help other people? Everyone's so used to making resolutions for ourselves, and that's important also, but why not make one that can have a tremendous impact on others and on the community? So if people want to do that, what's the first step they can take in lending a hand to this campaign?
Well, really, there are three ways that individuals and families can help. One, they can donate their time to either Second Harvest here in Davidson County or to their local food box program or agency in their community. We all need volunteers to help us to pack up that food and get it ready for the families when they come in. They can also make a financial contribution. And we can, with every dollar that someone donates to Second Harvest, we can turn that into four meals. Or they can host a food drive and raise food items and give them to their local pantry program in their community. We are always in need of peanut butter and pastas and canned fruits, canned vegetables, canned meats. Those are non-perishable food items that we put traditionally in every single food box that we hand out to families.
And I can tell by talking to you that it's very clear your focus and your passion isn't just on, you know, promoting Second Harvest, isn't just people helping Second Harvest. It's, hey, if there's a local organization in your community that you can donate to, even if you can't end up helping us out, that's important. You're fighting.
Absolutely.
Fighting hunger is the priority.
Absolutely. It always is the priority. And we have so many wonderful partner agencies throughout our 46-county area that are helping to feed and sustain people every single day. And so as part of our role in the fight against hunger, we want to promote and encourage people to give back to their local neighbors and their community. So food that's raised in Rutherford County, if it's through a postal food drive or if it's through your local Kroger store, all that stays in Rutherford County. That doesn't come back to our main office in Davidson County. It stays in the county in which it's raised, and we distribute it through the variety of different agencies that are fighting hunger in their community.
Are there any other ways that people can get involved with Second Harvest aside from just food or monetary donations? Do you need volunteers for, handing out, distributing food, things of that
nature? Absolutely, absolutely. All of our food box programs need individuals to come in and assist them with either putting the food on the shelves, to assisting the families when they actually come in and packing the box. We need volunteers at our main warehouse all the time because all the food that does come into our warehouse needs to be sorted, whether it's perishable food items or non-perishable food items, and then be categorized and then be inventoried and then shipped back out to our agencies as quickly as possible. We could not handle the millions of pounds of food that flow through this agency without volunteers. So it's very critical. So, if you don't have any dollars that you can give a little bit of your time, and it will have an impact, and it will change a life.
And I would imagine also that in the same way that you see a lot more food assistance programs and things like that sprout up around the holidays, around Christmas, and just around the cold winter months in general, it seems, do you generally see a bit of an increase in the amount of volunteers you get around that time as well?
We do, but we need volunteers every single day.
And we hope
that people will, again, make another New Year's resolution. If you can't financially contribute, we hope that you will donate your time or that you'll host a food drive. Every one of those events helps feed hungry families in their community. The face of hunger could be one of our neighbors. We just don't know who it is some days. It could be the family living next door to us, and we don't have any idea that they're struggling to put food on their table. And if we have a very unusual winter again that's very cold, many people's utility bills go up, and so then the families have to decide, do I keep my house warm and pay my utility bill on time, or do I skimp on food? And unfortunately, many of those families will skimp on food, or parents will not eat a meal so that their children will have three meals a day. But that affects everyone in the family. It doesn't just affect the children or the adults. But that really has a very dramatic impact. And we all know that children can't perform in school if they don't have a nutritious, regular diet. So it's really important that children are receiving that on a consistent basis. When it's inconsistent, you're going to see a lot more health issues, educational issues, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's something we really take for granted, most of us take for granted, is that decision between having to come down to make the decision between, do I need to use my heat? Do I need food? And especially when you say that you can get, you know, for every dollar donated, four meals out of that.
Absolutely.
How much do most of us pay for, you know, we go to the local coffee shop and get a cup of coffee? How many people, for our one morning beverage in one day, could we be feeding in this area?
It's pretty significant when you
right.
start looking at it. So, and because of the generosity of so many donors, both our food donors and our financial donors, as well as we have our own manufacturing facility here, that really does enable us to keep the cost down and provide, you know, four meals for every dollar donated. So, you know, we can take your dollars and we can stretch them and make them go a lot further and feed a lot more people.
All right, fantastic. And it seems like I'm hearing something about Second Harvest almost every other day, something that you guys are doing that's great in the community. It's been a real pleasure having you on the program. If you want more information, the website is secondharvestmidtn.org. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is there a phone number they could reach you at?
Yes, they can reach us at 615-329-3491.
Fantastic. Janie Day, CEO and President of Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
All right, Rutherford Issues continues in just a moment. A check on the news with Ron Jordan at the bottom of the hour is coming up right now on WGNS.
You don't hear those other radio guys talking about Murfreesboro?
We'll be back to the countdown in just a minute.
The only place you'll hear good neighbor talk is WGNS Murfreesboro. Rutherford Issues on the Good Neighbor Network, Rutherford County's place to talk. We're WGNS, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11.
We are back today, and a very special guest once more. I don't know what I did to be so honored while Brian Barrett is out of town to have seen this woman twice over the course of filling for him, but Carrie Boylan. Carrie Boylan is back today, and she has a very special guest that she's going to introduce now, and it's a pleasure to have both of you very finely dressed ladies in here today.
You know, Zach, flattery will get you absolutely everywhere.
So I've been told.
It gets you everywhere.
It's a lesson I've taken to heart.
He really has been quite charming this afternoon, hasn't he? I have to introduce one of my really, really good friends here in the borough, Penny Bolton. Thank you, Penny, for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited that she's here because Penny and I met, how long ago has it been? About a year? Year and a half?
A couple of years ago. Yeah.
A couple of years ago at the Power of Pink, mm-hmm. and we became friends. And Penny, those of you that don't know Penny Bolton, she owns a fabulous place in town called Penny's Closet, and located by the Bugnut Pig. If you mm-hmm. don't know where that is, mm-hmm. it's at the corner of Northfield and Broad.
Mm-hmm. 1602 West Northfield.
And we love her closet. But wow. Penny's really not here to talk about her closet today. But I just want her to know how beloved you are. People love you, Penny. They really do.
That.
They really do.
I don't know about that.
Seriously. I mean, Melissa, you gave Melissa a hug when you came into the station today. So
she's my neighbor.
Well, I did not know that. So, like
yes,
I said, you know, everybody loves you, Penny. And I wanted you to come on today to talk a little bit about one of your major events that I missed because I was in Florida helping a family friend mm-hmm. who was ill. Your Brass for a Cause. Bring us up to date on how that went. You, of course, have featured in Murfreesboro Magazine this month. So those of you that like to read the Murfreesboro Magazine, it's fabulous. Go out and get yourself a copy and talk a little bit about how that went on. So over to you.
Well, we were very excited. This was a record-breaking year for us with Bras for a Cause, and we raised over $10,000.
My goodness.
Yeah, over $10,000 for the Cancer Research Institute this year. And for those of you that don't know, the Cancer Research Institute is the number one charity on Charity Navigator. So what we like about this is that the money goes directly to research, cancer research, for all cancer, not just for breast cancer. People think because we decorate bras that the money just goes for breast cancer research, but it actually goes for all cancer research. So we like that. It doesn't all go into administrative cost. It does go to research. So that's what we're trying to do is we're trying to help find a cure for cancer.
So tell me about why did you choose that particular organization through the Charity Navigator, you said. What is that?
Right. Well, I was very fortunate that Leslie Akins worked with me, and she educated me a little bit about that if I was going to work this hard on fundraising, that I should know where my money was going and that I should do research on where that money was going. And my feeling was that I just really couldn't turn my back on anybody suffering with cancer. So with that thought in mind, then I thought, well, I want to give it to who's going to spend the most amount of money doing research, not padding some administrative cost.
I get that. Yeah. I think everybody gets that. Mm-hmm. But I know you're extremely passionate about this particular fundraiser.
Right.
Tell people a little bit about what does the closet, and I call it the closet because it truly is my dream closet, if I could ever have one.
Kind of mine too.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's been a lot of hard work, but a lot of fun. But I do believe that, you know, you can never receive without giving. So it's my thought that, you know, the more that you give, the better you feel, and the more you receive, and if nothing else, love back in return. So, and, you know, really in the long run, what's more important than love, you know? So,
oh, yeah, well.
Nothing. So, so we just began this fundraiser. I think this is our fifth year.
Is it your fifth year?
Our fifth year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it has grown and grown and grown over the years. And
bras hang from everywhere.
Yeah, it's really kind of fun, and bras are hanging from the ceiling at Penny's Closet. During the month of October is the month that we do this.
Yeah.
And but many people do believe that it is just for breast cancer, that the money just goes to breast cancer, and that's not true. The money actually goes to find a cure for all cancer. They've made actually great progress in the treatment of melanoma in the past year, so we're excited about that. It's, you know, progress is being made, and the only way to really help someone with cancer is to do research and to find a cure. Because the only way that you're going to really help them is to find a cure or treatment for their cancer.
Correct.
So that's my belief anyway.
Well, I think the way you go about it, the way you go about Bras for Cause was just particularly interesting, and I think you invite all creative types to design a bra. And didn't Amelia Bozeman design one year?
She actually isn't. Their bra is actually in the calendar. That's another thing that we do to continue the fundraiser all through the year, is that we produce a calendar of the top 13 bras, because the winner goes actually on the cover.
Correct.
And the calendar is now for sale in Penny's Closet, and it's $15, and the proceeds go to the Cancer Research Institute. So it's just another way to continue to raise money throughout the year.
And awareness, of course.
Pardon me?
And the awareness.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but I just, I bid on a bra the year before last, and I actually passed that bra along to a friend of mine, Jessica.
Yeah.
Who is a breast cancer survivor, and even though she knows it's not for breast cancer, it was part of my closet. And,
well, it's not specifically for breast cancer, but it is for breast cancer. It's for all cancer. So And for those people that don't know, Bras for a Cause is starts out in a fun way. We know that laughter heals. So, you know, we try to make it fun as we possibly can. So what we ask people to do is to decorate a bra. And when they come in, they fill out a form, and they actually donate $25 as an entry fee to the Cancer Research Institute. And that money goes directly to them. That doesn't pass through Penny's Closet in any way. The check is made out to the Cancer Research Institute. And then that's when we begin to hang the bras from the ceiling. And typically, we get about 100 bras hanging from the ceiling at Penny's Closet. It's tons of fun. And then we have what we call the People's Choice Award. And what happens as the bras begin to come in, people come in and they start voting on the bras. And it's $1 per vote. So
I voted.
Yeah. And and how that all works is at the end of the month, the last Thursday in October, we have a party. And at the party, we calculate all the votes, and then we tell who the top 13 winners are. The winner goes actually on the cover, and then the other 12 go on each month. And that's how we make up our calendars.
So. I think it's great. Zach, you are looking quite bemused over there.
I Yeah, it sounds like a blast.
It is a blast.
It is a blast.
It is a blast.
It is a blast. And I was very upset that I missed it this year, but that's why I wanted to come in and really
Now I'm upset that I missed it for the past, 5 years?
Yeah,
I didn't know
but
about
there's
it.
Always next year.
Absolutely.
Or this year.
Yeah.
This year.
Well, actually, that's right. 2012.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody, by the way. I forgot to mention that. So, go down to the closet, to your closet, Penny's closet, and, of course, we can pick up a calendar, which of course I will be doing.
Yeah,
because
they're awesome.
I'm sure they
they're
are.
Awesome.
Last year's was great. So.
Yeah, and Sherry Clegg with Murfreesboro Magazine volunteered to photograph all the bras, and she did a fabulous, amazing job. So just looks great.
Looks great.
It's really good.
Looks good. Now, you've got another event coming up on February 9th.
Yes.
Which I have to say is important for me personally because it's touched my life personally. My best friend, Ursula, was complaining to a doctor about feeling a little lightheaded, a little anxious, and it turned out that it was her heart, and she had a blockage. I was in Fort Lauderdale, actually on a small vacation to take her away from the stress with another girlfriend, and her symptoms got worse. And at risk of boring the listeners, it was a 99% blockage in her aorta, and they were able to take care of it. And she told me that she did not realize that it had been creeping up on her for the last 6 months. So you have this event coming up, Have a Heart.
Have a Heart, yes.
So I have a heart. I'm wearing my heart pin. Tell us a little bit about your upcoming events.
Well, every year we do this in February. The timing's right to just give back and... of course, we want to give to the American Heart Association, the local chapter here we give to, and we give 10% of the sales on February 9th, and we will stay open till 7 p.m.
Okay.
Again, it will be a festive party atmosphere.
Zach.
So we will have lots of fun, and we'll have all kinds of free things going on. We'll give away, like, little free heart-shaped candies and... there'll be flowers and all kinds of fun door prizes and gifts will be given away. But the main thing is that we will be given 10% of the sales all day long and continuing on till 7 p.m. that night to the American Heart Association.
Again, you're giving. And I know you said earlier that, you know, in order to give, you receive love and everything else. But you really do give. I mean, you really do give, Penny. Every time I go in there, you're doing something for someone. But I want to take us back to when you had a smaller closet. See, Penny's gotten a bigger closet in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first went into your closet, at an invitation from you, from the Parapink, you had a little fundraiser going on for a kitten. Remember that?
Okay. Yeah. I'm a big animal advocate as well.
I know you are. So what was that fund? I can't remember the name of the fund. What was it called? It was Save a Kitty?
We had actually had, and we've had this happen more than once, where people know that I love animals, so they tend to dump them off at Penny's closet because they know I'm going to find a home for them and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, we were trying to actually, this kitten had been thrown out at Penny's closet and it had broken its leg. And so we were trying to raise money for its medical cost, and we did. And then we found it a wonderful home, and it's great. Everything's wonderful.
It was like pause for a cause as opposed to ours for a cause.
It was
so sweet.
And we do a fashion show with Beasley every year, which we enjoy. And then we also do our program 10-10-10 with Beasley and many other nonprofits as well.
Why do you do all this? I mean, did you set out to do this when you came up with the concept of selling things from your closet? I unfortunately give things away from my closet, but you came up with Penny's closet, and at the same time, were you thinking about doing this sort of thing at the same time, or
I love the community in which I live, you know. So
I
love the people in the community. So, and without them, I couldn't have Penny's Closet and couldn't enjoy working every day in a place that I love, my store. So it makes me feel good to give back to the community. It's just as simple as that.
I mean, Penny's Closet even has a couple of chandeliers in it. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Oh,
I mean,
it
really is. It's a fabulous, little big store. There's a lot of unusual gifts and accessories, as well as, of course, clothing that you carry. But I just
because bras hanging off the ceiling's not unusual.
Well, you might.
Kind of
yeah, yeah, okay, Zach. Yeah, you can weigh in if you'd like to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can weigh in. But I mean, seriously, you do. You're so creative with how you've laid out the store. There's something in there for everyone. You don't have to have a lot of money in order to purchase something.
Well,
you have great sales.
Yeah.
And even when you have great sales, you're still giving. And that is one of the reasons why I had you on the show today. So,
well, you know, I was raised very much in a working class family.
Mm-hmm.
And
me too.
So I believe that as long as I have enough money to be comfortable, I don't have to ever be rich. But I do think you can be rich in your friends and,
oh, yeah.
And the friendships that you make and the relationships that you build. So I feel very blessed. So
well, you just,
I love to give back.
Well, you just told me some very exciting news, and I'm really happy. Well, number one, you did, of course, donate for one of my particular favorite places in Murfreesboro, which is Project Help.
Mm-hmm.
You donated a
we
beautiful you donated a beautiful necklace and I believe earrings mm-hmm. for the silent auction for the major fundraiser, Saddle Up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have just agreed to do a 10-10-10
mm-hmm.
for Project Help, so I'm excited, and we'll get to those details when we're off the air. But go over the 10-10-10.
Well, the 10-10-10 is a program that I started about the middle of last year, and it's open to any civic and nonprofit organizations in Rutherford County, and they can just come to me and we can work out the details. But really, basically, what the program is that if they want to do a fundraiser, as long as they're a nonprofit or civic organization, then I will print up coupons for them, and they can hand out to anyone they choose. They tell me how many coupons to print up, and it's a $10 for whoever they hand the coupon to, and then 10% of the sales of when they of this coupons, 10% of the sales that are generated from the coupons for 10 days will be donated to their organization. So we call it 10-10-10.
Sounds like a political thing.
It's a win-win.
Win-win
with 10-10-10.
No, great. I think that's a really great idea. And thank you. I know the folks over at Project Help will be excited to hear that. And so many of the ladies that come in to the closet are involved with Project Help. And
mm-hmm,
that's another reason why I'm involved with Project Help is you encouraged me to be involved. And I thank you for that, because it's given me so much pleasure, as well as what I consider the flu this season. But I could be wrong. I don't know. But in any event, Zach, I know you're dying to say something about this conversation. We just haven't let you get a word in edgewise.
What can be said?
You should go to the closet.
I really should. Where is it located?
1602 West Northfield.
1602
mm-hmm.
West
Georgetown
Northfield.
Park.
Yeah.
Right beside the Bunganut Pig.
Right beside.
I know exactly where the Bunganut Pig is.
Yeah.
There we are.
Everybody knows where the Bunganut is, but that is a gem that's next door, you see.
I've only been in the Bunganut Pig one time, but I need to be in Penny's closet a lot more often, it sounds like.
If you have a special someone in your life, it's always good to go in there and maybe purchase a gift certificate or
so maybe we need to have you back around Valentine's Day then.
Sounds great.
Well, that's sounds good to me.
Fantastic then.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Rutherford Issues will continue in just a moment. Thank you very much to both of you lovely young ladies.
I like the young part.
So do I.
And I like being called a lady, too.
The Man on the Street Report is coming up next, right after this short commercial break.